What up, what up? It's your player partner checking in. 2 Chainz, and right now you're locked in to Jalen and Jacoby. Yeah.
He is Jalen Anthony Rhodes. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do? We give the people what they want every day later on in the show. Who's going to join us, Jalen Rose?
A legend. One of my favorite people of all time, who just so happens to be the greatest running back to ever perform in the NFL. A icon. If I was doing a rankings, Jacoby, of the social and political
Your getting longer.
Athletes of all time, Muhammad Ali would be number one. Our next guest would be number two. Mr.
I won't even
Jim Brown is going to be here.
Jim Brown joins us later, but right now we start with the NBA bubble, which is almost about to open up in Orlando, and Dame Lillard has come out and said that he does not think that NBA players will follow the bubble rules. Jalen, what do you think?
I've been talking about this since the beginning. Here's the deal. They're young, they're in shape, handsome, and rich. And you know what happens when you're not at work? You're enjoying life. And basketball is 2 or 3 hours a day, whether it's practice or a game. And you still have your mobile device in your hand. It's called a smartphone. Gonna be a lot of DMs, gonna be a lot of videos, gonna be a lot of people getting caught up via social media. Do you know what else people gonna be doing? Finding ways to get people in and out of that bubble that ain't playing basketball. That's going to take place.
There's a lot of levels to this, and I think that a lot of people sort of talk about it in a romantic sense, that people will come in and out to break the bubble. But it's not just that. There's friends that you want to see. If you ever been to a hotel, you're like, oh, I'm going to spend the whole vacation in this hotel. And after you've been to the pool and you've ate at the restaurant and you've rented the movie in the room, you want to leave. Like, it's not just a romantic thing. I think that you want to leave just to physically leave the hotel that you're staying in and not just go to work hotel. You want to try different foods. You want to get out. Like, I just think that leaving the bubble is something that people will do for romantic and other reasons. But will they get caught? Will there be real punishment? Do you think they'll really have to quarantine? If such and such went to a restaurant outside of the bubble, do you think they might turn a blind eye to that in terms of punishment?
I don't believe so. You can't, because the coronavirus is serious. And we can speculate all we want, but here's what we do know. Many states loosen restrictions and the coronavirus cases continue to rise. So for all we know, the next 2 or 4 weeks could be a case study of whether this experiment's going to happen or not happen. So it's still a work in progress.
Well, I think this is going to happen, because think about the community that they're creating. People are tested, if not every day, every other day. And once a positive test is recognized, that person is quarantined so they can't spread the normal habits that people would spread without the testing. I think with that much testing and the $150 million they're putting this on, it will happen. I don't think there'll be as many positive tests as other people think. I don't think it's going to swing series the way that other people think it will, just because they're testing so much. But there's definitely going to be some people coming in and out of that bubble they're not supposed to, and we will see just how hard the NBA will come down on them. And due to all of this, someone who might walk out of all of this with a championship is Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he said that getting a championship here would be the toughest championship you could win. What do you think about that?
I think in various ways, you can say that it's the most unique championship of all time, playing in a bubble after doing 80% of the regular season, finding ways to play 8 games for a play-in with the 8th spot, and then engaging into playoffs. It will be the most unique journey. I can't necessarily say it will be the toughest journey, but how about this? Of all the contending teams, I was just thinking about this. The Los Angeles Clippers are the only one that this is the best chance in the history of their franchise to win a championship.
Fact.
Of all time.
Fact.
Of all time. And it's only a squad like that has never got to the finals or won it, and is the JV squad in their own building, actually wins it under these circumstances.
So one thing that I think about this statement and a lot of the statements we've heard leading into this bubble situation, they're not unbiased. Like when you are a contender and you are the Bucks and you're the number one seed in the East, all of a sudden it's, it's the toughest championship to win. This is gonna be the hardest one to win. But if you're not in it, like Draymond, who we spoke to, it's like, oh no, there's definitely gonna be an asterisk. Oh, it's like, and if you're not gonna go, it's like, you know what, we should really consider not going because of the social injustice and what we can do. But if you are a championship contender, let's use this platform and fight for social injustice. I just think there's a lot of bias, especially when it comes to the championship and how hard it's gonna be. And the asterisks, but the source on this one is someone who wasn't healthy when the NBA season ended or was paused and is now healthy. So it's certainly not going to be tougher for him personally with the time to get healthy. What do you think about that, Steve?
I agree, because as the season was progressing, he was dealing with the knee injury and LeBron was gaining steam on the MVP race. Now he's had a chance to recover. I think he's been fantastic the entire season and deserves the MVP for the regular season. And so going into these playoffs, it's going to be interesting to see how his surrounding cast shows up, Middleton and Bledsoe. And if they're able to overcome what everybody's going to have to overcome as it relates to the sacrifices needed in the bubble, let's see if they can not only uphold the number one seed in the league, but actually make it to the finals and see if Giannis can lead them to a championship.
We'll see. It feels like both the Eastern and Western Conference is wide open as ever as we head to Orlando. It is now time for News That Matters. There's been a saga, there's been an investigation, there's been a mystery over the past couple weeks that's really impacted the world of sports, and that is, who is killing Jay Cutler's chickens? And Jalen, we know who's killing the chickens. After some surveillance video is out there, we've learned it was raccoons. Raccoons were killing Jay Cutler's chickens. What do you think about this?
It's the call of the wild. I appreciate how he was very soft-spoken throughout his NFL career. Ultimately, with his ex-wife, became a reality star and developed the personality that we didn't know he had. And These are the type of viral clips that have nothing to do with his personality, yet have us engaged in his social media. So I'm not mad at him at all.
I'm not mad at him either. I love Jay Cutler so much more now that I've watched him on television off the football field than I did when I watched him on the football field. When we come back, Jalen Rose is going to take a seat on the bench, and I will be joined by Jim Brown.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Corona Extra. Find your beach.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. No Jalen Rose, but we do have Jim Brown joining the show. Jim, you have seen so many uprisings and protests in your day. Do you think 2020 can be a turning point in the fight against systematic racism and social injustice?
I absolutely think 2020 will do that, because you've never seen the racial situation as positive as it is at this particular time. Mm. And it takes a lot of players being unselfish, being intelligent about this to make it work. So I'm very, very happy. I'm very optimistic about the results.
And this movement comes during a time where we're all facing a global pandemic with the coronavirus. Do you think returning to sports, returning to the field, can help or hurt this movement in the fight against social injustice?
Well, you have to return at some point. Mm. And so I would say that it will help the movement. And because you want to have the sport and doing the best it can do for the fans, and all of the conditions that we're dealing with are very difficult. But when the game must go on, there's always been a cry when you deal with sports.
That's a good point. The game must go on. So for players that are going to start playing and going to have cameras pointed at them and microphones in their face, how can they use that platform to help further this movement?
Well, I think if the players that have the ability to be on national television, conscientious enough to speak up and speak out, it will be a positive thing. It will have a positive effect. So that's the way I look at it.
There's been some discussion about changing the name of the Washington football team. We do not say the name on this program. Do you think now is the time for them to change the name of that team in the NFL?
You do not say the name on this program, huh? Well, I'll tell you, there's so many things that needs to be changed. I'm all for it. I think it's a consciousness. I think that in this era, you must make those bold moves. And yes, I think they should change it. Tell why they're changing it. And let's move on towards a world wherein people are equal and people are given the respect for just being human and being good. Racial situation is something that should be outdated. So yes, get rid of the Redskins. And that would make a big move.
You heard it from Jim Brown. We've been saying it for a long time. It's about time that name be changed. It should have happened a long time ago. It's good to see all of today's athletes being so active. And is it true that your activism once landed you on the FBI watch list?
That's what I heard. You know, I was everywhere trying to do everything and not being very successful. But I think that is a true situation. They thought that my big mouth and the influence that I had would be a danger maybe to the country, but it didn't work out that way. You know, I was just trying to make a better playing situation in a situation where African-American players were not really given equal quality time or money or recognition. So, trying to break the taboos down, trying to make a difference.
Well, we appreciate using your influence then and now to make a difference. And someone who did that as well is the WNBA's Maya Moore. She sat out all of last season fighting for the release of Jonathan Irons. He was released yesterday. What does it feel like to see someone sacrifice like that?
It's a great feeling because that's real sacrifice. And you have to be convinced on what you're doing, and you have to stand up for it. And I think in our country, we have to do that. But America always did that to a certain degree. But for this young lady to stick her neck out like that, it's an amazing thing. I congratulate her.
Well, I'm sure she'll be very happy to hear that. Jim, of course, we want to talk to you about the Cleveland Browns. A lot of pressure on the Browns this season. What are your expectations for your Cleveland Browns this season if we have a season?
Well, I don't want to be prejudiced, but I'm always looking for a Super Bowl win. I think that in football today, anybody can win. And I'm hoping that the Asms, who are great owners, take a look at what their weak spots, make those particular changes. But I think the organization is going to do real well.
Great. So let me just, I heard that right. You're predicting a Super Bowl win for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I'm not seriously predicting one to be a predictor, but why not? I mean, it's zero right now. They haven't lost the game. So, you know, why not have some fun with it? That's my team.
You know, Cleveland Browns are undefeated.
That's right. They're undefeated right now.
Undefeated. You said it right. Heard it from Jim Brown. The Cleveland Browns are undefeated right now. Jim, thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you so much for your entire life dedicated to fighting this fight. We'll be back with Jalen and Jacoby in just 2 minutes.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Corona Extra. Find your beach.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, you were on the Fat Joe show last night, and you were in a Versace robe. Why were you wearing that robe?
Fat Joe, legendary MC, brother from another mother, friend of Jalen and Jacoby. I was channeling my inner Thurston Howell III. It was like 9 p.m. You get a chance to kick it with the best combination of Joe and Oprah, like he calls himself, Joprah. And I was on there giving the people what they want. What you think about it? I have to grab you one.
Always giving the people what they want. We'll be back at 4 p.m. tomorrow to give the people what they want. Right now, it's Dan Le Batard and Highly Questionable. We always say we're doing podcast exclusives. This is the show after the show where we take you behind the curtain of the show. Jalen Rose has been on a tear, just booking us great guests, the best guest booker in the game. He's looking down his phone right now. He's probably booking us Barack Obama for tomorrow. You never know. You never know what he's up to when he works the phone like that. He worked the phone and got us Jim Brown, legendary Jim Brown. On the field, one of the best to ever do it. Off the field, in terms of activism, one of the best to ever do it. But Jalen had tech problems when it was time to interview Jalen Brown. When it was time to interview Jim Brown. Jalen had some tech problems. Guess what had to happen, Jay? What had to happen?
Had you to take over. Got a chance to have your Jacoby sit down, Oprah exclusive.
Jacoby had to come in.
Of all of the people that I've booked on this show, I have never been more enthusiastic to talk to a human being than I was with Jim Brown today. So much so, the entire hour that I was going back and forth and trying to get the tech issue solved, I sweated through three shirts. Jacoby and Patrick Ewing style.
Let me just tell you something, Jalen. You've like been through a lot in your life. You've had real adversity, real problems, real pressure situations. You don't really get pressed over TV too much, I've noticed. You know what I mean? I get a little stressed out before the show. I got to prep stuff. Oh, Jim, we got to go through the elements. I'm in there early. You know what I mean? You don't really get too pressed over television. There's a little pressed in your voice today. I didn't like it. I don't like that. It's outside of my comfort zone.
A couple of things. First off, he's an icon and an idol. Number one. Number two, there's so many things that I just wanted to look in his eyes and hear him say that I missed. But the other thing was I wanted to make sure that I pay him the proper homage that he deserves. Because as we talk about civil unrest and social justice warriors, if I was doing an all-time ranking, Muhammad Ali would be number one and Jim Brown would be number two. All-time.
I think that there is a generation of people listening to this podcast right now. And again, like, it's not your fault if you're under 26 and you're not familiar with Jim Brown or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and what they've done off the field. There's a generation of people that are seeing the athletes of today be vocal and be active, and they should look up what the people over your shoulder have done in the past in a very similar sense, in a much more tense situation, if you can believe it. And that's Bill Russell, Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Muhammad Ali, and Jim Brown. So, Jalen, a couple of things I want to talk to you about.
I'm grateful of the shoulders of the giants that I stand on, and I'll definitely invite them back on the show, and hopefully won't have any tech issues next time. But you did a great job, and he said a lot of things that are going to resonate with the public.
I think so. Two things that are very important to you. Voting and voters' rights and the right to vote, the accessibility of voting, and the Detroit Pistons. And those two circles don't normally intersect, but they did intersect. Explain to the people exactly what I'm hinting at.
I'm really proud that the Detroit Pistons and the Atlanta Hawks have opened their facilities to be places where people can actually vote in the inner city. And this is major. Here's why. The Hawks and the Pistons play downtown in their cities. Usually downtown in a major metropolitan city, especially one that's predominantly black, inner city polling locations are remarkably worse than suburban ones. Mm-hmm. The conditions are the difference between life and death. In the suburbs, they have older people working. They're not as familiar with the technology and the machines. I'm sorry, in the inner city, not as familiar mm-hmm. with the technology and the machines. And then you might get up to the poll and the ballot doesn't even work. Doesn't even work. So now if you have a professional sports team that's opening up its arena, Little Caesars Arena, for people to vote, that's 20,000 people that place holds. Okay, that change that is substantial support in the More Than a Vote movement in order to give back to your community and give everybody a legitimate chance to vote and have their voice be heard.
The travel times, the wait times, the equipment that you vote on, the conditions in which you vote, the ease and the overall experience are so dramatically different in urban and non-urban communities that I just am one who recognizes it. And I'm proud to be partnered with somebody on such a large platform, somebody who takes actual action and joins the movement. And I know that you were probably on some phone calls and text messages and emails or all three in regards to this actually happening. So I appreciate your efforts in that regard, Mr. Rose.
I appreciate you.
Well, we got Bradley Beal and Victor Oladipo both saying they're 100%, not 100% sure whether or not they will play in Orlando. Jalen, what do you think about that?
This is a climate where I want to make sure fans, media, don't take it personal when players opt not to go to the bubble in Orlando. They're not essential workers. They're basketball players. They're entertainers. They get a chance to play a kid's game, make millions of dollars, and do what they love. And for some people, that risk is not worth the reward. And for everybody acting like there isn't a risk, you're being naive. I know you're seeing really powerful political figures not wearing masks and people not socially distancing, but the coronavirus is still as prevalent as it has been. 2.5 million people affected in the United States.
More prevalent than it has been. Deaths. Setting records every day with new cases. And granted, there's more availability to testing now, but there's a pretty clear path to fighting this virus. It's pretty clear. Stay away from each other. Wear masks.
Correct. And I got to be 100 because there are people that try to spin the, it's more people getting tests. So, of course, you're exposing more people. And so the numbers are going to get high. Well, let me give you guys the flip side of that coin. The flip side of that coin is people like myself who are asymptomatic that have not been tested.
Oh, no, Jalen, I'll tell you what this is. We've got, and these are numbers I got from NPR. We have 4% of the world's population. You understand that? So that we have 4% of people on Earth here. Okay? We have 25% of the world's coronavirus cases. Interesting. So you might say, we're just testing more. That's one way to say it. If you're testing more, you're going to have higher. Okay. Not really true. But anyway, we have 4% of the world's population, 25% of the world's deaths.
Wow.
Death is something that you don't get from a medical exam or a test. Like that you're either alive or you are not. It is binary. So if the numbers are consistent in that way, it just proves that we are doing a worse job fighting this virus than the rest of the world. Now, I also want to be fair and say this. A lot of the countries that we're compared to, especially European countries, are much smaller than us. You know what I mean? Because I think what you've seen with us has been a spread from region to region because we are such a large country. Because it feels to me, and again, I don't study these things. We all live through this. But New York was especially hit hard early, and so was Los Angeles. And then everything shut down. And there were places, regions of the country where it wasn't such an immediate threat when there was a shutdown. So they kind of felt like, why am I shut down? And so then they start reopening And then they realize why they were shut down, because those are the regions, and you know, parts of California and Arizona and Texas and Florida and other places, they're really getting hit hard right now. And there's a direct correlation between what they're experiencing with the virus and the reopening of gyms and bars and nightclubs and movie theaters and things of that nature. It's just, this isn't political. This is barely scientific. It's just kind of like an objective fact.
And so being safe and trying to just take care of one another is the key right now, because as you mentioned, the numbers continue to skyrocket. And as somebody that's done light traveling over the past couple of weeks, what I will point out is different people in different cities are handling it different. There are certain cities where people are conscious and wearing masks like it's happening, and then other people that aren't as conscious. So stay safe out there.
Absolutely, man. Stay safe out there. And Adam Silver said that restarting the broadcast may need to delay to keep cussing off the air. Right? So we've all seen these. You know, there's, you know, ESPN runs with a delay when we have live shows. We were on radio. I think they gave us like a 4-minute delay because they never knew what we were going to say. But this is sort of normal. But how do you expect this to play out when we're watching a basketball game?
The NBA is going to put on a great television program for fans to enjoy. And NBA basketball is going to happen. And people are going to enjoy seeing the players back being competitive. And when you do that, you got to protect them while they're at work. And since it is a television program and people like yourself are going to be watching with your kids, you want to protect them from things that get said out on the floor, just like things that get said in a locker room or like pillow talk in a relationship that shouldn't be broadcast on television.
Also, it's communication between coaches and players. You know, that's something that you take us behind the curtain on that. Like, you're a point guard in the NBA. Do you get a play every play? Does it, the other team, I imagine, is with the same earshot that you are. But don't you think it'll change it a little bit if not just, you know, the immediate 100 people in earshot hear the play call, but it gets broadcast to millions of people who can then see what happens next and then start to debunk code words and play calls and things of that nature. Do you think that will have an effect?
Yeah, that's too much. There's a term called too much inside pool. That you have to protect the coaches and the players and just the infrastructure of the NBA against. You want it to be an enjoyable experience and a learning one, and people to be entertained by watching it, not necessarily bogged down by E equals MC squared or something that somebody said when they drove to the basket and they didn't get a foul, or actually hearing what somebody's saying to an official after they blow a call. So you have to protect the players and the coaches and the infrastructure of the NBA from things like you just described.
I wonder how I think they're going to plan on using sort of like fake crowd noise. I really wonder how that's going to play out. And this thing in some soccer broadcasts, I've seen fake crowd noise. And it you know, barely, I didn't notice that it was there. And I mean that in the most complimentary way. One piece of news I wanted to talk to you about, and I've got a theory on this. I'll tell you my theory. Number one piece of news. The Lakers do not plan on replacing Dwight Howard, although he has not committed to going to the bubble. This is how I read that piece of news. LeBron is being like talking to Rob Pelinka, whoever, be like, he's going to play. Don't worry about it. He's going to play. Don't worry about it. He's going to play. I'll talk to him. He's going to play. Just let him do his thing. He's being Dwight, but he's going to play.
And coincidentally, he has a long history in Orlando, so he kind of knows his way around there. Mm-hmm. All-star, helped lead him to the finals. One of the greatest
Before I do make too much light of this, I do want to say I think I read that one of his children lost their mother recently. So, you know, I think that he's got more serious things to consider than just whether or not he's going to play. But do you think he will play?
I believe he does play. Because his teammates going to play without Avery Bradley and him, mm-hmm. I think that affects their championship trajectory.
Absolutely. So
I believe it does.
when you take away Bradley, you can roadmap it. You can be like, all right, well, maybe we'll see a little more Caruso. Maybe we'll see a little more Rondo. I think JR is there just to you know, I don't think he's going to replace Avery Bradley's minutes, but you get a little more Caruso, a little more Rondo, a little more JR. You kind of fill his minutes with that trident. But if you take away Dwight, you're looking at a lot of JaVale McGee, and you're looking at a lot of AD without help down low. And I think those are two losses, two players that the Lakers kind of picked up on a discount that got great value from over the year. And those are two players that over the course of the year, they might have not said, we need these players before the regular season started. But after they showed what those players can do, now they need those players. So
agreed. Well,
I still have the Lakers as my championship pick. If Dwight Howard is not there, and I can't believe I'm saying this in the year 2020, if Dwight Howard is not there, that swings my pick. Dwight Howard in 2020 swings who I think wins an NBA championship. I never thought I would say that. Good for Dwight Howard.
But all of this is gonna, but other than like the anticipation of the contending teams already being great, Lakers, Clippers, and Bucks, and wild card teams like the Celtics and Sixers, and what's going to happen with Houston? Can two recent MVPs propel them into the finals? Don't overlook those storylines, because this doesn't necessarily have to be chalk. This is not normal. And so anticipate abnormal things to happen. And there will be people that miss practices, miss games, and playoff games due to coronavirus. That's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, there's also people that will get it and then come back 2 weeks later, because people can test positive for it, be asymptomatic, and then come back and play 2 weeks later. You know, I mean, it is set up to do that, and they're going to be down there for weeks and weeks. So you could see someone test positive, and then you could see him play 4 or 5 games later. You never really know. And I think that it's an interesting season. And one of the things that really opens up for that anything can happen. And not just, you know, the Pelicans sneaking into the 8 seed or something like that. Like, I could see the Rockets. Remember that run the Rockets were on when they beat the Celtics in that overtime game?
That's why.
Yeah, like the Rockets. You could see, can't you see James Harden lifting up that Finals MVP trophy at the end of all this in Orlando? I could see that happen.
I'm going to tell you. So we know it's Lakers, Clippers, and Bucks are the favorites. So I'm going to give you a trio of teams that could potentially win.
Oh, I know who they are already. I know who they are.
I just said them, right? Houston,
no,
Boston,
I got some in the East.
Philly.
Yeah, those are my three too. Yeah, those are the three I'm thinking too. Houston, Boston, and Philly. And I'm going to say the gap between those top tier contenders and the second tier contenders is not that big. It's not
in the bubble.
That big.
Not
if
in
you
the
put again, if you put you matched up any permutation of those Western Conference teams and any permutation of those Eastern Conference teams and said, tonight a 7-game series is going to happen, who do you got? I'd say every single one of those matchups, and again, we're talking about, what's that, 4 different matchups? Or 6 different matchups? Whatever, I'm dumb. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I don't really know. 8 different matchups? Why am I doing the math? But I really, if you look at all those and said a series is starting right now, I honestly would have to think a while before I gave you a prediction on those.
And it's all anticipation. We got to see who's in shape and what's going to happen in the bubble. And it's still to be determined, but I'm just glad a season is going to eventually end in a champion.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there's something that makes me uncomfortable about the very first images of players coming out of on practice. There's something that makes me uncomfortable about it. I feel like all of a sudden we turn into like pageant judges. You know what I mean? I feel like all of a sudden – yeah, we're supposed to be fat shaming and be like, well, they look like, oh, if you look at this picture before the quarantine and after the quarantine, it looks like such and such gained 10 pounds and it's not muscle. It's like, you know what? It's like we're all doing what we got to do. You know, like, I don't care if you come in overweight. I don't care if you come in skinny. I don't care what you look like. I care what you play like. So we're not going to spend too much time on this show. And I'm going to make a promise to myself and to the staff. I'm not going to spend too much time on this show talking about whether someone looks skinny or whether someone looks heavier when they're in Orlando. I'll talk about whether or not they're scoring buckets, but I don't want to spend, and it's going to happen because there's going to be some outliers, but I'm not going to spend too much time talking about what people look like.
It already drew it out there, like with the Joker, for example.
Yeah, James Harden, people talking about how he got in shape.
James Harden. It already started. People are going to be looking at Zion.
I'm not a professional athlete. But if you said, yo, in 3 weeks you need to look your best, I can change some habits and start some new habits and I could trim down really quick, you know, and I'm not even a professional athlete. But you know what? I've never done that my whole entire life, so I can't really prove that because I got no reason to be skinny.
Here's the thing I want people to pay attention to about in the bubble. And ask yourself this question. What habits do you have that you can go at least 30 days without?
All of them. Dog. I mean, I've been without golden tee for like 100 days now. I haven't spun that trackball once.
But you ignoring like one of your main habits is being a father.
Yeah, I think it'd be really cool for like 4 days. Like day five, I'm on a FaceTime. Okay. You know what I mean? Like day five, I'm on a FaceTime. I start crying a little bit. Like also my wife.
I'm telling y'all, going to the quarantine is gonna be like going to Vegas. After 2-3 nights, that's it.
You're good. Yeah.
That's it.
That's really it.
Pool, room, restaurant, rent and repeat, running into the same people all day that you work with.
It's boring.
That you work with.
And there's this idea that you're being surveilled, and anytime someone sees you do something sideways, they can call some number and say, I saw such and such do so and so. Like, no. Doesn't sound fun.
All of that, with the civil unrest happening in this country and how black people are trying, along with multiple races to address systematic racism, and now all of a sudden we're not mobile either. So you're kind of handcuffed in a lot of ways physically. Yeah, you're gonna see a lot of group tweets and IG feed posts and edited videos, kind of like the NFL one, but you won't see Jaylen Brown with a megaphone organizing a protest.
Here's what you're going to see, Jay. Here's remember what you heard is first. Number one, it's going to turn into, look at these pictures. They're heavy. They're skinny. Right when that happens, right? That's number one. We're going to see that. Remember you heard it on J&J first. Number two, you're going to see a lot of people looking at social media and pointing out people not being 6 feet apart and pointing out small little violations of the health and safety policies. You're going to see that, and it's going to make me so mad. It's going to make me mad. We're going to nitpick every little social media post from everybody. That's what we're going to do. Jaylen, I'm upset that you missed the Jim Brown interview.
I'm upset. That's why
I know you are.
I don't, nobody feels worse than me. Nobody feels worse than me.
I know. Nobody. I know how much that meant to you.
I can beat myself up about it as much as I want or – you know, live for another day.
We'll be back.
I have
tomorrow.
Him picking up behind me. He's my bodyguard. He's right behind me. These are my bodyguards.
I guess Jim Brown wasn't just on the show today. Jim Brown is on the show every day, is how you have to look at it. And we will have another show tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done.